First Thessalonians. No, not that. I read it again. Second Timothy.
You can't be trained.
Chapter 1. I cannot be trained. Yesterday we did verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Everybody remember what pure conscience means? More of the emptying. Pure is katharos. It means...
Just on the conscience, how else could a conscience be pure? I guess if you obeyed every aspect of your conscience, you would think, okay, now I'm pure. I followed my conscience. And that would be the worldly version of
purity. Well, that's what...
Purity.
Yeah, but then nobody ever can. Because you constantly... You demand more of yourself than you can do, and so you judge yourself constantly.
Right. It's not a fail-safe, it's the opposite.
Without ceasing, we've talked about that many times, remembrance. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Prayers is supplication, pray. Now we're finally in verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. That's greatly desiring is the same word that you would have for lust unfettered and as applied to the world, as applied to you had to have something or you have a sexual. It's this, you got to have something. Well, he's applying that which man uses for his own self-satisfaction. He's applying that to the brethren. He's greatly desiring. Let's go to a couple of scriptures to see what that means. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If my voice sounds weird, it's because I'm dizzier than a loony bird. What?
Do what I did.
Is there something I said? No, he's got to take Ronnie. In chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So again, this greatly desiring, but now it's spiritual matters, not... Okay, one other, 1 Peter, chapter 2. Well, let's go up, chapter 1, 23. No, 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, purified is empty. Your soul is just another word for conscience. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is of the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. Now, this is an interesting, it's almost satirical, because if you're still having malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, then by definition, you're still a newborn babe. Do you understand that? Gary, what's going on?
I don't understand that.
If you're a believer, but you're still in the position where you have malice and guile and hypocrisy and envyings and evil speakings, that defines the position you're in spiritually. You're still a newborn babe. And we desire then the sincere milk of the word.
This sounds funny because it seems different the way it's structured here.
What do you think it means?
Because it sounds like be as a newborn babe that desires. A newborn babe doesn't have all those elements.
Well, but again, the milk of the word isn't what we desire. There's a time when you should be, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Just a few pages to the left. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
For everyone that uses milk is unskilled from the word righteousness, but he is a babe.
Right. Yeah. Now do you understand it? You don't desire the newborn babe status. That's just the brand new you believer. You still have much to see and much to empty yourself of.
Yeah.
You have need of milk, not of strong meat.
Right. So, if you are full of all these things, guile, hypocrisy,
you're still a newborn babe.
You're as a newborn babe.
I don't think that's what it's saying. Either.
You need to empty yourself. Not saying recognize what you are. If this is what you're doing, then this is what you are. You need the sincere milk of the word.
Amen.
Recognize. I mean, go ahead and just buy into it.
Remember, once you become a believer, then everything from that point on is location of sphere. And you're either in the world still doing stuff, or you're in the crossing, and maybe you haven't even crossed in baptism, or you maybe still at the where the bitter waters, or maybe still it's and all of the newborn babe stuff, you're still in this position of trying to do it, and when you do that, you will have hypocrisies, you will have evil speakings, you will have evil speakings is talking about one another. You know, and all that kind of stuff. So this is positional.
After the world, we'd like it to say, you're supposed to be teachers now. You know, get with the program, dude. You know, pull your head out. But this is saying the opposite thing. If that's what you are, be it. You know, don't try to be something different.
Well, I'm not sure it says that. But the point of it is, the idea of being a newborn babe is one that only can stand the milk. The need of milk instead of strong meat, which is right in Hebrews 5. Being a newborn babe here isn't, they're not, in my opinion, it's not congratulating you that you're a newborn babe. It's the same as in Hebrews. You should be more. You should now have seen the emptiness of all things. If you disagree, then I would ask you to do the word studies to show it. Okay?
Do we as believers move back and forth through those positions? It seemed like we said that a long time.
So, well, yeah.
We fall back and we find we're full of malice and envies and then, forgotten our first love.
Right.
And then we desire that milk of the word, we see, and then we own it.
So, yeah, it's not linear.
Well, I've told you 100 times. First of all, with the three graces that are given to all men, the grace of Isaac, the grace of Abraham, the grace of Jacob. That and in that, all one is dominant, but you have all three of them. And so, but the whole, if you the Psalms of Ascent, if you look at the Psalms of Ascent, when we sing them, it goes from great. You're in the world and you're darkness and nothing's right. Then you go and all good. Now then you fall back. It's up and down and up and down as you go up to Jerusalem. Well, this is part of the same. You have to look at this in regard to the whole picture of God. Amen? I may be wrong.
I think the only thing that's something that you're saying that seems like it's bad if you find yourself like a newborn baby.
No, it's bad if you're still having malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy.
Right.
That's what's bad.
And that's when you should.
If they're doing that, then you should go back to the.
That's right. Then you return.
Right.
That's what's supposed to happen. Yeah.
Those are what is it, not
right.
What we should do. Amen. All right. Let's go to let's go back to 2 Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Let's look at tears for a minute. Let's go to Luke 7. Verse 35, this is what Jesus, first of all, he says, but wisdom is justified of her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of a woman this is that toucheth him, for he is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And then it goes on about meaning. Now, this woman had to be a relative in order for her to have even gone into the house of a Pharisee, during the time they were eating.
A relative of a Pharisee?
Yeah. No, she had to be the relative of Simon. And as you know, I've taught about this many times, I believe this was Mary Magdalene. And her tears were part of the anointing, that this is in the alabax of the box, were the anointing of him for death, for burial. But tears here, you can see that the tears come with repentance. We've seen that hundreds and hundreds of times. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Hebrews 5 again. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, to him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. So again, it's supplications with strong crying and tears. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Remember, we also have the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But let's look at another thing in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews where does it talk about Esau? I thought it was Hebrews 10, but it doesn't look like it is. Anybody have any ideas?
Come on, Pete. Look at your
part. I don't have any ideas.
Well, it talks about wherever it is, somebody can find it. It talks about him trying to find repentance, though he sought it with tears, and yet he couldn't.
Yeah.
Now, that's the wrong kind of tears. God, I wish I could find that. You know what? I'm so dizzy. We'll make this a short one. I'll find out where the Esau business is. All right. I'm sorry. I'm so.
It's Hebrews 12:17.
All right, then we're not. We'll wait. We'll look at it, Thank you, Pete.
How did you do it, Pete?
I have cords in the back of my Bible.
Yeah, this is good. starting verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom he the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You know, how do you be without chastisement? It means you quit in your mind. You don't endure, you don't last, you quit in your mind and find another solution. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, they might be partakers of his holiness. Now we know that no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. And nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and make the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Again, tears. That can be. We've all seen this kind of tears, too, haven't we? So, tears isn't the issue. It's the heart that's the issue. Anyway, so he's talking about. We'll stop there. I'm just not able to complete a thought in my mind. Take it, big guy.